be seated.
Good morning. Amen. Well, it's certainly been a... Is this one working? You hear me okay? It's been a great morning so far. Really appreciate Brian's communion this morning. Sometimes we want the blessings, but we don't want to drink the cup, right? So I don't know about you, when you're reflecting, as we were taking the wine there, I was thinking, Lord, help me to drink the cups. Help me to drink the cups. And thank you, Brian, for reminding us through God's word of the cups that we do need to drink. That was really great. Thanks. A couple of announcements before we go ahead and get started here on the sermon. Number one is those of you who took those medical forms for the Hope Clinic downtown Boston, the medical clinic, we need to turn those in today. If you do not have them, I need to turn them in on Tuesday at my meeting. So if you could get them to me, I would be deeply appreciative. Also, church service next Sunday is at the Boston Garden. We know that. Okay, now there's a change in time. It's at 9:30. It's not at 10. It's at 9:30. What time is it at?
9:30.
All right, okay. Now we all remember it's at 9:30. And let me say, they may examine bags again like they did several weeks ago. So my suggestion is that we get there plenty early. Okay? Also, we have the marriage getaway coming up the first weekend in April. Please get your registration to Craig Leiby. That's going to be a really exciting time. I'm looking forward to that. Also, next Saturday, we have the Women's Day. Amen?
Amen.
And that's going to be a tremendous time. If you're visiting with us and you are a woman, then I would suggest you see someone about it, because it's really going to be a life-changing event next Saturday. So we're excited about that as well. Before we go ahead and get started, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father God in heaven, we are just so grateful that we're able to just be here. Lord, to have life. God, I'm grateful that I have legs that I can walk on and eyes that I can see and hands that I can touch. And God, I'm just grateful that you've given me children that bring me so much joy. Lord, I'm grateful for the wife that you've given me, who has truly stuck by my side for these last 19 years and a half. God, I'm just grateful for your church. I'm grateful for every single brother and sister that is here who has impacted and changed my life. God, I'm grateful for those that aren't here that have changed my life and impacted me, and I'm just grateful to be in your kingdom. Lord, you're such a good God. You're so patient and kind, merciful, strong, full of wisdom and mercy. And God, we just owe you our lives, and we thank you for our lives, and we pray that our lives will be, in any way we can, worthy of what you've called us to. Lord, we love you. We look forward to the day of being in heaven with you, celebrating, partying, in a spiritual way. Lord, the great victories that you have brought about that have changed the world. We love you, Father. Thank you for liking us, being our friend, our support, our courage, and our life. In the name of Jesus, your Son, our brother, we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 5. I'm going to start over there. Hey, have you ever been afraid of anything? You know, I remember some things I was afraid of. All of us have been afraid of something, haven't we? Or somebody. You know, I remember when I was a kid, and maybe Paul will remember this, but we had this one, we lived in a small cottage in back of a three-tenement house on Prospect Street in Lynn.
Number 28.
You remember that, Paul? And it was a kind of a small house upstairs. It had one large bedroom, actually two large bedrooms, which my mom and dad slept in, and the other bedroom, it was all us five boys in that one bedroom with two beds. You know, and my sister had her own room because she's the only girl, but it's a little smaller. So we had this one big bedroom, and there was two beds in the room, so that meant three of us slept in one bed, and two of us slept in the other bed. And I remember those days. I remember those days being with those guys, trying to get the covers, and many days I woke up with no covers, you know what I mean? One of my brothers wet the bed, so, I mean, it was like, oh. One of those days you woke up cold and a little damp, you know? That's kind of gross, isn't it? Well, that's how I grew up. But in this bedroom, maybe that's why I've turned out this way. I don't know. Just kind of crazy, you know, from a young age, I guess. But in that bedroom was a closet. Yep. Well, Paul said, oh, yeah, I remember that closet, you know. And this closet was there, and it was this incredible closet. And every night before I went to bed, I wanted to make sure that closet door was closed.
Oh, yeah.
Because I knew if that closet door was open, I wasn't going to sleep. Because inside that closet, there was a nasty old boogeyman. Right, Paul? And I was afraid of that boogeyman. You know, during the day, I'd go in there and look around and see if I could find him. And I'd be amidst the shoes and all the junk and stuff in there. And he wasn't there. But at night, that's where his home was. And I was scared of that. Were you afraid of him, Paul, as well? I don't know. Were you afraid of that closet? Yeah, he was. So I'd never asked him that before, so I'll have to ask my other brothers as well. You know, I remember some of the things I was afraid of. I remember at times we grew up in a neighborhood that was multiracial, and some of us didn't get along. And it was always interesting that when you got into trouble, you ended up dealing with a number of kids besides just one. So I know several times I had a kid that was after me, and he would bring all his friends, and there'd be about 10 kids waiting for me after school. Because I went to a different school than they went to, and they got out earlier than we did. Uh-oh. So it's kind of like, uh-oh, there they are. What am I going to do? And they can't come in the schoolyard, you know, because the adults will put them out. But they're out there waiting, saying, we're going to get you all. We're going to get you, you know. You're after you. And what I would do is go all the way around, jumping fences, going through yards, you know, ducking down behind cars so those guys couldn't get me. Because I was afraid. I knew what was going to happen. Those guys were going to beat the tar out of me, you know. Yeah. It's a good reason to be afraid, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think so. Smart. Throwing rocks at you and things like that. But anyway, there was a time that eventually, I couldn't run. Eventually, I had to deal with my fear and confront those people. I still did get the daylights beat out of me. But I confronted my fear. You know, I want to talk a little bit about fear today. Because I believe it's something that keeps us from doing everything we can do as human beings, the potential that God has given us. And I believe it also really keeps us from a strong spiritual walk with God. Let's open to Mark chapter 5, verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowds behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Amen. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Let's go on. Well, they went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. I don't think he walked up and shook his hand. We're going to see that in a second. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out into the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man. And he told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. And I'm going to stop right there. You know, as we look at this, we see that the disciples were afraid. They were terrified of what had happened in the boat. You know what it's like to be terrified? Have you ever been terrified? I mean, that's a pretty scary thing, isn't it? Being terrified is a very, very scary word, especially if you've experienced it. Maybe you were in a car wreck one time. I was in a car wreck coming back from Indianapolis one time. We're going 60 miles an hour, and we're going down the freeway, and all of a sudden this woman pulls out of the ramp. Trailer truck hits his brakes. He's behind us. I thought he's coming through us. Another person smashes us. We're spinning around the highway. Glass is flying everywhere, and I'm saying, "Lord, take me quickly." I was scared to death. I was terrified. We ended up in the middle of the median, and I had to crawl out through a window to get out of the car. I was terrified. I know that feeling. That's what the disciples were feeling at that time. They were terrified. They didn't understand what was going on. And then we see the demon-possessed man. He was really, think about how possessed he really was. He was strong enough to break irons on his wrists and to free himself from the shackles that were on his feet. And he cried out in the evening and cut himself with stones. I mean, he was a pretty wild guy, wasn't he? But Jesus took good care of him. He gave him back his sanity. He gave him back his mind. And the people came out to see what had happened because they heard about the pigs. And they came out and says they were afraid too. They were afraid, just like the disciples were afraid. They were afraid, and they asked Jesus to leave the region. You know, it's amazing, but that fear, because they didn't understand and they wanted to control the situation. You know, fear is so crippling. I mean, it just knocks on our door every single day. Every single day we get up, it knocks on our door. We all have different fears. It kind of pulls us in and entraps us. It keeps us from moving. We become immobile. And that truly is what was happening to the people. Their response was, "No, this is incredible. This is the Son of God. Look at the great miracle that he's performed. He's given this man peace. He's given this man sanity. He's given this man life again. And we're grateful to you, Jesus. We're happy, Jesus. We're excited about what you're doing here. Please stay with us forever. We'll feed you. We'll take care of you. We'll become your friends. We'll sit at your feet. We'll pray with you. We'll learn from you." Wrong. "Jesus, you just need to leave our region." Because they were afraid. Because they didn't understand And they were no longer in control, but Jesus was in control. They realized that what Jesus had done, no other man could possibly do. That there was something different about Jesus. But their fear kept them from finding out exactly who Jesus was. Does your fear keep you from knowing exactly who Jesus is? Does your fear keep you from a radical relationship with God? Does it keep you from a personal relationship with God? More than just going to church on Sunday, going to a midweek service, or even going to Bible talks, or group discussions, or a one-on-one study. Does your fear keep you from that radical personal relationship with God? Does your fear keep you from deep personal relationships with one another? You know, the world is an interesting place. We all crave that, don't we, as human beings, a personal relationship. We're looking for personal relationships. We're looking for friendship, aren't we? You know, Greg was, I always get those two mixed up, Greg and Craig. You look so much alike. Why, yeah. Greg was sharing something with me that last Sunday, when we were in the middle of the snowstorm, he decided in the brothers in that apartment, they were going to go out and knock on all the doors in their apartment, invite people to come to the worship service because no one could get out. They were all snowed in. So he went around the building knocking on doors, which in itself is crazy, right? Yeah, it is. It's crazy. I mean, you know, how many times have you done that in your life? It's crazy. It's out of the ordinary. Maybe a little bit insane. But anyway, they went around knocking on doors, inviting people to come down. He said it was amazing. I could hear people there, but they wouldn't come to the door. And then there were others he knocked on. The people would come to the door. They would talk, but they wouldn't open the door. Then there were others who opened the door just a little bit just to see who was there, you know. Or you look out that peephole. Let me just see. The hole's about this big, and you stick there. You know, you're looking like this. Right? And then there were others who opened their door and went to the service, and it changed their lives. But fear keeps us from those personal relationships with one another. We're so concerned about what everybody else thinks about us. Doesn't that cripple you?
Yeah.
What's someone going to think if they find out I'm a Christian? What is someone going to think when I tell them I'm a disciple? That I don't do these things anymore? Geez, what are they going to think if I invite them to learn about Jesus and to study the Bible? See, we're so concerned, we're afraid, we're fearful, and that fear robs us of that deep personal relationship with God and that deep personal relationship with one another. Amen. We all experience it. It keeps us, fear keeps us from changing our lives. Fear keeps us from changing the world. The disciples needed to overcome their fears in order they might have that radical relationship with God. The disciples needed to overcome their fears in order to have a deep personal relationship with one another. The disciples needed to overcome their fears in order to change their lives. The disciples needed to overcome their fears in order to change the world. And if we go back and we examine the Gospels, we see very clearly that all the time that Jesus spent with them, they were afraid. Peter was afraid. Thomas was afraid. They were many, many times afraid. But they understood the only way they would overcome their fear would be through Jesus Christ and his example. Because the Lord had many challenging times in his life where fear could be the dominant factor that could take away his relationship with God. I mean, think about it. You know, I was thinking about fear. And I guess what prompted me about this is because I'm a fearful person. So, oh, well, you're getting up here and speak in front of
200 or 300 people, and you know, you've done this and you've done that, and you've done this. And I'm like, well, yeah, amen, but I'm still a fearful person. But I really want to overcome my fears. I want to get deeper and deeper with the Lord. I want to get deeper and deeper with you. I want to be able to change my life, and I want to be able to change the world. You know, I've had the opportunity to just really go back and read some things outside of the Bible on Martin Luther King Jr. Because the guy blows my mind. He blows my mind. Here's a man who died for what he believed. He died to see justice, equality, peace. He died for that. And I'm thinking, he is willing to drink that cup. He was afraid many times, but he pushed through his fears in order to succeed and have victory for himself and for the people that were around him, the black nation of America. You know, we need to learn, number one, if we are going to overcome our fears, the first point is to face our fears. In order to overcome our fears, we must face our fears. I had the opportunity, as you know, to spend a lot of time with my brother. He's moved in with us. And just to talk. And as we were talking, what came out is really his fears. What he was afraid of in becoming a disciple, in becoming a Christian. And it brought me back to the time when I was studying the Bible. And I remember all of the fears that were in my life in making a decision to follow Christ. You know, I can remember the fear of, they all want to take my money. That was a fear for me. That was real. I worked hard for my money. I was concerned about this cultic organization trying to take my money. You know, I'd look at the checkbook. My wife would write a check for $10. I'd go crazy. Because I was afraid they would take my money. Right, Paul? Yeah, sure. I was afraid I was going to lose my personality. As you can see, I've not lost it.
Amen.
It's been matured.
Yeah, that's yeah. Amen.
I was afraid I was going to lose my identity. Well, as you can see, still got one. Maybe it needs to change some, but I still have it. I was afraid that I'd be robbed of my individuality. I'd be robbed of my independence and my free will. Well, let me tell you, I'm plenty independent. And I have a free will to choose and pick what I want to do with my life. But what I've chose is to overcome my fears and give my life to Jesus Christ. But we must face our fears. Ask yourselves, why are you afraid? Think about your own fears. Think about your own personal fears inside your life. The deep ones, not the outside ones about money and stuff. But the deep, deep truths in your heart. Because each one of us have some things in our life that we're very fearful about. Ask yourself, why am I afraid? See, we need to ask ourselves that question every single day. We need to ask ourselves that question every single time it comes up. Because in that way, confronting our fears, it will give us a measure of success. It will give us a measure of power. It doesn't mean we've done it yet, but when we bring it up, it will give us a measure of that power. It will give us a measure of success. Not the total victory, but a small measure to understand where we're really at. You know, the thing about fears, the more we attempt to ignore or repress them, the more we multiply the conflict inside. Isn't that true? You know, when you're afraid to deal with something and you're afraid, and then all of a sudden it starts multiplying. And now you're really afraid, right? And now you don't want to say anything to anybody about anything, right? Because it started to multiply. And the longer that fear goes, the more it multiplies, till it gets to the point where it totally immobilizes you. Till you become totally unable to move. You become stymied. still. And we know as human beings, just like nature, if we're not growing, we're dying. And that fear starts to eat away at you. You know, the great thing about bringing your fears up too, is that when you bring your fears up, what we find out many times is that they're more imaginary than they are real. Isn't that true? It's like, I need to talk to Wyndham about this. It's like, oh, I don't know if I want to talk to Wyndham about this. And then this fear starts to multiply. You know what I mean? And then I don't want to talk. Right? Then I go and talk. Oh, he's going to say this, and he's going to say that, and he's going to be in my face, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, and then I go and I talk to him. I muster up, which is our second point, which is courage.
Amen.
I muster up the courage, and I talk to Wyndham, and you know what? I'm like, wow, that isn't anything like I thought. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
And I feel so much better. I'm like, I can't believe I did that. What a dummy. What a fool that I would think those things. See, because a lot of times our fears really are imaginary. See, fear really involves the misuse of our imagination. You know, when you're talking about being a disciple and you hear these incredibly hard sermons, and I do preach a few hard sermons.
Amen.
Today's not one of those real hard ones.
No.
I thought I'd give you a break.
Thanks,
maybe I needed a break. I've had a few this week. But really, it's true. I mean, you hear these incredibly hard sermons. Well, what do they mean about this? And what do they mean about that? I mean, I do that. I used to hear Kip preach in the opera house, and I'd be like, who is this man? Oh, I can't believe he said that. And I'd go there, even before we even got there, I'd be sure we'd be with Lori, and I'd invite someone to come to church with me, and they would come, and I'd say, boy, I hope he doesn't preach this, and I hope he doesn't preach that, and I hope he doesn't say this, and I hope he doesn't say that. You ever felt that way?
Yeah.
See, and all of a sudden the fear starts. You know what I mean? And it totally, our imagination runs wild. See, fear is really the misuse of our imagination. To focus on the negative as opposed to the positive. You could use that imagination in a great positive way to give you courage. And that's really my second point. To overcome fears, we really need to be able to have courage. Look at 1 John chapter 4. Actually, I don't want to leave this first point until I make this point within the point.